We are in week 7. How many of you guys got a chance to read this week? Great, great, great excerpt there. Lots of stuff. And that today, this week's chapter just made me want to go back and read the whole book of Joshua, knowing all the different things that go on through there. And just the battle after battle after battle. I've got two boys, and they're boys. They like violence. So we were reading the story this week from the children's Bible, and it really left out a lot of what happened. And so I started sharing with them what happened, and my wife was in the kitchen saying, "Dusty, that's because she knows what's happening, you know, to the five kings that were hiding in the cave, and you know, put your foot on their neck. Chop their heads off, hang their bodies up, just a really fun." So, yeah, I don't know why she didn't want me sharing that with my boys. That's Bible. So today starts off, we're going to read the very first part here of Joshua chapter 1. And today's title is Take It and Keep It. We're going to be kind of breaking that down a little bit. So you're going to be a little foggy till about halfway through the message. So just stick with me. Through the fog, we need to kind of build a basis before then I can go back and make some sense out of what we're talking about here. So be encouraged through the beginning of this, and we're going to attach this to some personal things in our lives. So Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 says, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." And some of you will recognize this next little statement, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's where that comes from. "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." So today, as we build a basis for some of the things we're going to be talking about, let's go and write this down. We're going to make a little more sense out of this statement in a little bit. But how bad do you want it? You know, the Israelites have been wandering around for 40 years, and here God's bringing them back to the edge of it and telling Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Be strong and courageous. That's a big step to that. Be strong and courageous. And one of the reasons we can be strong and courageous is because God is with us. God is with you. So you can't be defeated. He tells Joshua, "I'll be with you all the days of your life. No one will be able to stand up against you. Be strong and courageous." You know, and this is a message that's not just to Joshua. Otherwise, it would be really easy to take this out of context and say, you know what, this was just God speaking to Joshua. This isn't how he speaks to other Christians or other children of his. But that's quite the opposite. Back in Genesis 26, God told Isaac, "Do not be afraid, for I am" what? "With you." God told Jacob in Genesis 28, "I am" what? "With you, and will watch over you wherever you go." And then here in Joshua, "I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous." He told Israel through the prophet of Isaiah, he said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God told Israel again through Jeremiah the prophet, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am." That sounds like a broken record, doesn't it? This isn't just for the Old Testament. This just isn't for the Old Covenant. This isn't just for Israel. Jesus tells the church, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And to this truth, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is with us, we cannot be defeated. Victory is ours because God is with us. He has assured us of this. "I am with you." Church, be strong and courageous because God is with you. Be reminded today that God is with you. Turn to a neighbor and say, "Do not be afraid. God is with you." Turn to another neighbor and say, "Be strong and courageous. God is with you." Church, be encouraged this morning. Jesus told Peter, he said, I tell you the truth, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. If God is with you, you cannot be defeated. If even Hades does not hold the power over the church, then nothing else will either. We can take this story of Joshua and be encouraged in a very personal way because Jesus has said, I am with you. Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus says, even the gates of Hades will not overcome his church. So be strong and courageous, church, because God is with you. Do not fear, because God is with you. What would it be like if the church really believed this? Imagine what the church could do. Imagine what our church could do. If we really believe that God is with us, and because of that, we cannot be defeated, we cannot fail. Imagine what we could do in our individual lives. Jesus has assured us that he is with us always to the very end of the age. And before saying that, he reassures us of something else. He says, all authority in heaven. Everyone say all. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, I'm with you always. So don't fear. Be strong and courageous. God tells Joshua in verse 7 as we continue this, he says, be strong and very courageous. He adds a word there for emphasis. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be what? Successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be what? Prosperous and successful. I'm going to this warning somewhere later in the sermon, so when I get there, I'm going to have to skip over it. But I am very much against what is often called health and wealth gospel. And that is that if you give your life to God, then you're just going to have great health. Or if you give your life to God, then you're going to have great wealth. I don't preach that. I don't believe in it. However, today is going to sound a lot like that. So I just wanted to give you a warning that we're going right up to the border, because I do believe that there's a lot of truth on the way there, just not on the other side of the fence. So just to give you guys a heads up, because he says, don't turn left or right so that you may be successful. Meditate on it. Do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be what? With you wherever you go. So follow his ways and you will be successful. Just going to write that down. Follow his ways and you will be successful. I assure you that it is a lot easier to be strong and courageous when you have your ducks in a row. When you're walking the right walk, when you're walking the right path, when you're walking in the light, it is so much easier to be strong and courageous. When you're following God's ways, when you're following his commands, his wishes, his desires, when you're meditating on it day and night, and when his law or his commands are written on your heart and on your mind, then God is with you in an additional way. He's with you by his presence. He has promised, I am with you. But if his word is in you, then his words are in you also. Think about the importance of words. Words convey thoughts. Honest words convey feelings. Hopeful words convey wishes and desires. Truthful words convey facts. Encouraging words convey courage. Think of all of the different things that are conveyed about the person of who God is through his words in his word. And if that's inside of you, then think about all the things that are inside of you. If God's thoughts are in you. God's feelings are in you. If his words are in you, then God's wishes and desires are in you. If his words are in you, if they're written on your heart and on your mind, then his truths are in you. God's courage is in you. How then can you fail? That leads to success. Be strong and courageous. Follow his ways and you will be successful. If you know that you're going to be successful, this kind of has an inverse to it. If you know that you're going to be successful, then once again, it's easier to be strong and courageous, isn't it? If you know I can't fail, I can't be defeated, I will be successful, then there's even more reason to be strong and courageous. Now, mind you, and here's where the health and wealth gospel disappears in the message. Success does not come easy. And that's what Joshua and the nation of Israel had before them. The title in your story this week was "The Battle Begins." See, it was one battle after another. And if a movie were made about the book of Joshua, it would have to be along the same lines as a movie like 300. It would be a rated R movie. It would be full of bloodshed and just amazingly gross images if they were to do it word for word of what happened. They physically took the land that God gave them. So let's write this down. God expects me to actively take what he has given me. God expects me to actively take what he has given me. See, taking takes conscious effort. It takes deliberate action. It takes a made-up mind. It takes a dedicated heart. He expects me to actively take it in the manner he prescribes. So you don't just take it, there's a way that you take it. And God has described how you take it. God will not just expect you to blindly take something that he has offered. He always seems to have a plan. He always seems to have a system, a way that we can take what he has given you. So how bad do you want it? Keep that phrase in your head. We're going to bring some sense to that right after this next little section here. A few examples of this. In Jericho, God gave Joshua the battle, but Joshua had to take it. God said, I'm giving this. Well, let's read it. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. No, we're still outside of Jericho. The Jerichoanians are still inside of Jericho. It doesn't belong to us yet. But God said, I've given it to you. I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. Here's what you do to take it. I gave it to you. Here's how you receive it. Here's how you take it. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, I guess he didn't have any parents. Son of Nun. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark and the covenant of the Lord. I mean, he doesn't even hesitate. He doesn't even say, that doesn't make sense, Lord. He doesn't. I love this. He just turns right around. God says, here's what you're going to do. And he doesn't say, that's crazy. That doesn't make sense. That's not logical. That's irrational. No. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark, the covenant of the Lord, and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guards going ahead of the ark of the Lord. No hesitation. I've given it to you. Here's how you take it. And there are other examples in your text today that we don't have a chance to really dig into where God has told them, I've given them to you. Now take them, and here's how you do it. He gives them specific instructions. So Joshua moves immediately. So this question, how bad do you want it? We wrote that down nearly 15 minutes ago. Let me give you another example, one that's a little more closer to our hearts than Joshua. Joshua is a history account, but it was thousands of years ago. And we read it, and we're not as connected to that. We can read it and say, yeah, I believe that happened. But what about something maybe a little more personal? We've all, most of us, have experienced. What about salvation? Does that follow this same pattern? We're told that in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We're told in the New Testament that the salvation that comes from God is God's gift. That salvation is a gift from God. God wants the world to take his gift of salvation. He has given it, but it has to be received. Correct? He's given it, but it has to be received. And he expects us to actively take what he has given us. And we are to actively take it in the manner in which he prescribes. Correct? Salvation is a gift, but in order to receive it, you have to believe. In order to receive it, you have to confess that he is Lord. He is your Lord. In order to receive it, you have to repent. You have to give your life to him. In order to receive it, you have to be baptized into Christ. Now, these aren't conditions so much as simply the way we receive it. Here it is. I give it to you. How bad do you want it? If there is anyone here this morning that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you've never confessed, or you've never gone past that, you've never repented, or you've never even gone past that, you've never been baptized into Christ, then I want to tell you this morning from the book of Joshua, be strong and courageous. Because I think that's one of the things that holds people back is a fear. Sometimes it's just a fear of being in front of people. I've done many private baptisms of people that just, they were afraid to come forward on a Sunday morning. And I want to encourage you this morning, be strong and courageous. If God is for you, you cannot be defeated. Why would you pass that up? Why would you hold that at bay? Because there's so much courage, there's so much strength that comes from giving your life to him. And the only way to do that, the only way to take what he has given you is to receive it the way he has prescribed. You can't receive it some other way. You can't go about it your own way. You receive it the way he has described, and he has described it to us in Scripture. You believe, you confess, you repent, and you're baptized into Christ. That's how you receive it. Now, that's another example for many of us. For some of us, maybe that is a call to your heart this morning to give your life to Christ. But for most of us here, it's yet another example of this same pattern that we see in Joshua. I'm giving you this. How bad do you want it? Are you going to be strong and courageous? Are you going to receive what I've given you? Are you going to do it by using the manner in which I've prescribed? So my question to you this morning, what is it that God is wanting to give you now? Maybe it's a better job. Maybe it's a job period. Maybe you're jobless right now. Maybe it's a promotion at your job. Maybe it's a dream that you've had and you feel like God has put something on your heart, but you've never had the strength or the courage to go forward and take it, to receive what God has given you. Is it financial peace? Let's get more personal. Is it a better relationship with your spouse? Is that what God wants to give you? Is that what God is saying? Here it is. I've given it to you. Now take it. How bad do you want it? Be strong and courageous. Have a better relationship with your spouse, but you got to take it. It takes effort. It takes deliberate action. It takes a mind made up. It takes a dedicated heart. It takes courage and strength to take what God has given us. Maybe it's a better relationship with your children. Maybe it's a better relationship with your parents, or maybe it's both. Maybe it's a restored relationship with a friend that you had a falling out with. Maybe it's the ability to forgive someone. What is it? What is it that God wants to give you now? What is it? If it's something that God wants to give you, then you're going to have to put forth the effort to receive it. You're going to have to do so with the prescriptions that he's given for success. Follow my ways. Don't turn right, don't turn left, and you will what? Succeed. So let's think about some of these things that God could be wanting to give you. If he wants to give you a better job or a promotion at your job, then take God's advice given in the Bible. Don't be a sluggard. Don't be lazy. Work with integrity. Work with honesty and take what God has given you. How bad do you want it? If God wants to give you a better job or a promotion at work, you're not going to receive that by sitting and doing nothing or by working dishonestly or working without integrity. If you want financial peace, then you're going to have to love God more than you love your money. You're going to have to develop a generous spirit. You're going to have to learn to put God first by giving to him first. These are all prescriptions. These are all manners in which God has prescribed that we should act and behave. And if we don't veer to the right, we don't veer to the left. If we're strong and we're courageous, we can take that which God has given to us. Here it is. I've delivered Jericho into your hands. Here's what you do to take it. I think he's given us that on so many different levels. And there's so much wisdom, so many things that we can take from God's word where he says, here it is, it's yours. How bad do you want it? I'm giving it to you. Take it. Here's how you take it. Maybe you want a better relationship with your spouse. Then listen to Ephesians chapter 5. And wives, you need to respect your husbands. And husbands, you need to love your wives as Christ loves the church. Why? Because that's what God has prescribed in his word. If you want that relationship to be better, take it. How bad do you want it? Take courage, church. If God is with you, how can you fail? How can you be defeated? So we continue in looking at Joshua and kind of building on this idea now that we've unpacked a bit. See, both our obedient and our disobedient choices have actions, disobedient choices and actions have consequences. And I tell my boys that. Consequences aren't just bad. There are good consequences. See, in Jericho, they obeyed God's instructions about marching around the city and blowing the trumpets and shouting, and God gave them the city. Their obedient choices and actions had consequences, good consequences. However, the first battle for Ai did not experience positive consequences. See, the Israelites were given certain instructions about what to do when they took Jericho. That they were to spare Rahab and all who were in her house because she aided the spies. That all of the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron were to go into God's treasury and they were to be called sacred items to God. Everything else was to be considered a devoted thing. And I really would not like to be a devoted thing in this story. Because the act of devotion meant to kill or destroy everything that was considered a devoted thing. Well, somewhere in the midst, there was this man named Achan, and he took some of the devoted things for himself. Some of these things that were supposed to be destroyed, and as a result of this, the next battle, the one against Ai, I always just say AI when I read it silently. But that battle was a defeat for the Israelites, and it shouldn't have been. It was a small city. They should have taken it easily. In fact, they took a small army up there because they thought, we got this. Well, they were overpowered and sent running away. Joshua is torn up about this, and he goes to God. And then God tells Joshua, here's what happened. Let me give you the rest of the story. He says, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They will turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. So they find out that it was Achan, and they have him put to death. It says, then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah. The silver, the robe, the gold wedge. So we get a list of things he took. So they took that, then they took his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, all that he had, everything that belonged to Achan, everything that he had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him. And after they stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Just total annihilation. That's how they treated the cities, if you were reading in Joshua. Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. See, obedient and disobedient choices and actions have consequences. So let's think about our salvation. Kind of go back to that topic. It's clear that God wants all people to be saved. It says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, so some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But that takes obedience. That takes acts of obedience. And those who reject God's gift won't take part in it. Here it is. It's a gift. I'm giving it to you. But if you don't take it, you've rejected it. There's no middle ground there. There's only obedience or disobedience. On to the personal subjects that we mentioned this morning. Finding financial peace by wearing a stocking over your head and robbing Miami Town Savings Bank is not the way God would prescribe for you to get financial peace. See, you can't go at something that you know God wants for you and go about it in disobedient ways. It doesn't work that way. You aren't going to get a better relationship with your spouse by treating them awfully, name-calling, nitpicking, critical, and uncaring. That's disobeying God's prescribed way to have a great marriage. You have to take what God has given you in the way that he has prescribed. And that takes obedience. Obedience takes faith to believe that God will do what he said he will do. Let's write that down. Obedience takes faith to believe that God will do what he has said he would do. So in Jericho, they followed God's plan. They marched around the city for 6 days. They made one little lap. Seventh day, they did seven laps. Shouted really loud. Actually, we've got this. We can put this on the screen. Verse 15 of chapter 6. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Let's write this down. Only through faith and obedience are you going to see the power of God come through for you. Only through faith and obedience are you going to see the power of God come through for you. If they would not have marched around the city seven times, if they would have not blown the trumpets and shouted as God had instructed them to do, do you think God would have done what he said he was going to do? I don't think so. Not from the patterns that we see in other pieces of scripture where he says, do this and I'll do this. They don't do that. Why should I do something? And back to my boys, I'm talking about them a bunch today. But sometimes when I'm trying to talk to them and they try to interrupt and tell me something about what they're doing, I tell them, why should I listen to you if you're not going to listen to me? And so they stop and they listen to me and then I listen to them. And that works sometimes. I think the same thing with God. The only way that we're going to see God come through for us is through faith and obedience. At Jericho, it says, when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when all the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, and every man charged straight in, and they took the city, just as God said they would. They got to see the power of God come through because they trusted through faith, through obedience. The Israelite army returns to Ai a second time. This time with clear instructions from God of what to do. Here's how you take the city. And after that, after being defeated the first time, then the second time they go in with God's instructions. They go in trusting God and they obey and they saw the power of God come through for them. We don't even have time this morning to even touch on the story of how the sun stood still for a day for Joshua as they were routing more and more armies. You talk about seeing the power of God come through for you by trusting, by having faith, by obeying. Now, maybe your marriage seems like it's impossible to turn around. And I've talked with a number of different people in some very dire situations. But God made the sun stand still for Joshua. The walls of Jericho came crashing down. How are you going to see the power of God in your marriage if you're not trusting in faith and obeying? And I know that's tough to hear, and I know it's tough to say, because I know some of the situations. How are you going to see God's power if you don't think that it's possible that he can or that he will act in magnificent ways? Have faith. I know it's not easy, but today's message is about being strong and courageous. How bad do you want it? Have faith. Maybe feel like God has put a dream on your heart and it's much bigger than you are. How are you going to see God's power if you aren't trusting by faith that he will come through for you? If he really put that dream in your heart, if he really gave that to you, then be strong and courageous and take it. Take what he gave to you. How bad do you want it? Take it by the manner in which he prescribes. Listen to him and have faith. Maybe you're in a bad financial situation. It seems impossible to turn it around. If God wants to bless you with financial peace, or even bigger than that, what if he wants to bless you not just with a balanced bank account? What if he wants to bless you with great wealth? How are you going to find out if you aren't aligning yourself, your principles, with that of the Bible? How are you going to see his power in your situation if you aren't faithfully obeying him? You're not. If God wants to bless you financially, you have to do what it takes to receive that gift, just like any other gift God would choose to give. And then connecting this back up with salvation. Many people believe that they've given their life to God. But have you gone through what God has prescribed to take the gift of salvation? If so, how have you done that? You believed, you confessed, you repented, you were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the foundation of all of that is faith. It's by faith we've been saved. Because it takes a lot of faith to believe that God has prepared a place for you in heaven. That takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of faith to believe that he has forgiven you of all your sins. It takes a lot of faith to believe that we get a chance to spend eternity with him in heaven. How can you have faith that God can do something as mighty and awesome as saving your soul? And you believe that God made the sun stand still for Joshua, but you don't believe that he has the power to heal your marriage or restore a hurt relationship or help you get a new job or promotion or help you on the path to financial peace. Those are teeny little things compared to these big things we're talking about. And if you believe in the big ones, then why can't we believe in the little ones? None of those things that we've mentioned are outside of his reach. So how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to receive what God has given to you? Follow his ways, trust his power, have faith, be obedient. Take what God wants to give you. Take it and keep it. And that's another big part of this that we'll be finishing up here. How bad do you want to keep it? So you got it. How bad do you want to keep it? At the very end of the book of Joshua, Joshua reminds them of the road that they had traveled. In Joshua 24, he reviews the journey all the way back from Abraham. He goes from Abraham to Jacob and how they went down into Egypt and how Moses was brought out to bring them up out of Egypt. And they took the land that God had promised them. And then he says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers served before beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So take it and keep it. How do you keep it? Well, you keep it the same way you took it. You choose God. You comply to his ways. You commit to him alone, and you take courage. Let's write these down. It's a simple preacher alliteration list. The C's. So how bad do you want to keep it? You choose. You choose for yourself what you're going to do, how you're going to live, who's going to be your God. You choose to keep it. How bad do you want to keep it? You comply. You comply to God's ways. You comply to his wishes, his will. It's how you took it. It's how you keep it also. You commit. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You commit. You commit to him alone. He says, get rid of all the other idols that you had. Get rid of all the influence that you've had around you. Commit. That's how you keep it. And you take courage. You stay strong. And you keep it. You keep a hold of it. You don't let go of it. See, we live in an environment that doesn't support the ways of God. We live around people who either don't know or they blatantly disregard God's ways. We live with the influence all around us, asking us, influencing us to compromise our faith. See, this is the same environment that Joshua was preparing the Israelites for in his last speech. You're going to be surrounded by all these things. You've had so much influence coming into this. We took over all these lands. The environment around you, in order to keep what you took, you're going to have to choose between God or these other gods. You're going to have to comply to God's ways. You're going to have to commit to him and take courage. And that's going to have to keep happening and happening and happening in order to keep that which you took. So take it. God's gift of salvation, take it. A better marriage, take it. Financial peace, take it. The dream, that job, that promotion, take it. Take it and keep it. Keep it by repeating what you did to take it. Choose God. Comply to his ways. Commit to him alone and take courage. Take it and keep it, church.